From Edward Snowden to Pope Francis, from the Syrian war to the Bitcoin bubble, 2013 supplied reporters and the public with a hefty share of memorable stories, ridiculous and sublime. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. In publishing, eyes were fixed throughout 2013, not on bookstore shelves, but on courtroom benches. Decisions rendered there in recent weeks have left coal in the stockings of authors, but will bring ebook buying bonuses to readers. Joining me with a quick look at the 12 months just gone by is Andrew Albanese, senior writer of Publishers Weekly. And Andrew, welcome back to Beyond the Book.
Hey there, Chris. Happy holidays.
Likewise to you, sir. And, you know, this will be our last podcast of 2013. Hard to believe we've gone through the last 52 weeks as quickly as we have. And we do our best to keep up on all the major events in this weekly visit with you and the folks at Publishers Weekly. So let's look forward let's look backward to what's recently happened in 2013 and look ahead to 2014. So tell us, what can we expect in the upcoming issue?
Well, thanks again, Chris. It's been another great year, and I look forward to our chats every week, and I'm looking forward to the chats that we're going to have in 2014. I'll start out with a programming note of sorts. You know, for PW readers, our coverage does not stop over the holidays. We continue to work, and there'll be new stories and features posted on the website. Our last print edition of 2013 is going to be on Monday, the 23rd of December, and the first print edition of the new year will be on January 6th. And that issue is what we like to call our Outlook issue. And in the past, we've run down some of the major stories of 2013 and sort of offered predictions on how they were going to go forward. But for the 2014 Outlook, we're doing something a little different this year. We're taking a look at some of the more interesting startups of the last few years, and we're assessing their progress. And there's more than 40 companies and initiatives in all in this Outlook. And it provides quite an interesting marker on sort of the health of the publishing industry. You know, at a publishing panel a few years back, I remember Atria's Judith Kerr noting that for an industry that was supposedly or so often portrayed as beleaguered, there sure were a lot of people trying to get in. I thought that was an excellent observation, and you'll want to check out our January 6th issue and see just how all these people who are clamoring to get into the book business are faring.
Well, I love that observation by Judith Kerr. It really is true. If you go to any of the publishing conferences that take place throughout the year, you certainly see that happen. Is a lot of technology vendors who want into a business that supposedly is dying.
That's right. Very interesting.
Very interesting indeed. Well, we've had a lot of news that we've been covering here on Beyond the Book with you throughout the last year. And give us your rundown of the top stories for 2013.
Well, you know, as you mentioned in your intro, obviously the legal stuff. You know, we talk about the various court cases, and there have been a lot of them. And in 2013, some of them came to some resolution, while some of them appear to have advanced to their next stage, possibly their final stages. But on the legal front, it really has been quite an active year, as active, if not more active, than any other year I can recall in my career. So, for example, in 2013, the long-running Google suit, which we've talked about quite a bit on this program, was finally put to rest, although the Authors Guild has vowed an appeal there. You know, if I were the Authors Guild, I would, you know, think about refocusing my energy away from tilting at this digital windmill of digitizing out-of-print books. You know, that'd be one of my New Year's resolutions, I think, would be to find a way out of this suit. And looking forward in 2014, I think we can expect some movement by in that direction, especially as the Second Circuit Court of Appeals weighs in on the case. As we know, at the end of last year, the Second Circuit was weighing in on a parallel case, the Authors Guild's case on the HathiTrust suit, and they didn't seem to be looking very kindly at that. So I would hope that the Authors Guild might think about moving on in 2014. And, you know, in his analysis, PW contributing editor James Grimmelman really captured the essence of the Guild's position in a pretty apt holiday analogy. He called the Guild's position on digitization Grinchy. The 11th Circuit, however, another court of appeals in the U.S. appears to be looking a little more negatively at a key fair use ruling. There was the Georgia State e-reserves case. In November, the 11th Circuit seemed to question the wisdom of Judge Arinda Evans's 350-page decision in the Georgia State e-reserves case. In 2014, that case could find its way back into Judge Arinda Evans' hands, or it could be another injunction could be issued from the appeals court. You know, I'm not certain that much is going to happen there. Part of me thinks the 11th Circuit Circuit is going to go back and reread the findings and decide not to overturn it. But even if they do remand it to Judge Evans, this is kind of an unwinnable case. You know, you'll recall that in this case, three academic publishers sued Georgia State and accused them of encouraging copyright infringement via their e-reserves as a low-cost alternative, or no-cost, I should say, alternative to printed course packs. But this is really kind of a backward-looking suit, I think. I think most of the fair use things that are brought up in this case are being written out in licensing agreements. So win, lose, or draw, I think the verdict is in on this case. I think it's a pretty badly conceived suit. The Supreme Court, meanwhile, delivered a first sale decision in the Kurtzain case in 2013. That decision, experts are saying, could change the way territorial rights are sold. So we'll watch that in 2014. There was another first sale case in which a district court declined to shut down a company called Redigi, and they dealt a blow to anyone who was hoping to create a market for used digital content. You know, and these cases are really sort of at the heart of digital copyright reform, which we think might also pick up steam in 2014. And then, of course, there was the Apple case. You know, and as we reported last week, those consumers who are going to find a new e-reader or tablet in their stocking this year are also going to get a gift from the various states in 2014 in the form of consumer credits from the five settling publishers. Those are going to be issued probably in late January, possibly early February.
Well, the Apple case really was something that came up a great deal throughout 2013. It's the subject of your e-book, Andrew, The Battle of 999, and it's the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to reporters like you, because we're going to see a lot more from Apple and that case throughout 2014.
That is absolutely right. We are set for a trial in May 2014 on Apple's damages. And of course, Apple has appealed and has also asked for a stay of key parts of the judge's final order in that case. And I'll be back in court on January 13th for another hearing on that. And of course, readers can keep up with, you know, in the pages and on the website of PW with all the developments in this case. And if things continue and if the appeal is not granted, ebook consumers could see another big chunk of change dropped into their ebook accounts next year as Apple's damages are determined. So stay tuned.
Well, you know what's fascinating, Andrew? I was just thinking that, you know, last year, 2012, was really the year of 50 Shades of Grey. We didn't have a book, a blockbuster like that this year. We did have, as you've been telling us, all these court dramas, but there have been some other stories that you followed that have really captured your attention. Tell us about those.
Yeah, there was 2013 was quite a busy year outside of the courtroom, and you're right. We really didn't have that big Hunger Games 50 Shades of Grey thing going in 2013, though we had a lot of great books obviously published in the past year. But for me, I think the whole library ebook situation was probably the biggest story. And, you know, frankly, I think that what's going on with libraries and ebooks goes to the very heart of the digital transition for publishing. You know, we ended 2013 on a somewhat positive note with all of the major publishers now participating in ebook lending in some form. However, the situation is really far from resolved, and I think that how the ebook situation is ultimately sorted out with libraries is really going to be quite key to the future of ebooks. Now, as to ebooks, I think 2014 is going to be very interesting in terms of growth. As we know, we've talked about on this show, ebook growth has sort of tailed off towards the end of the year. We're not exactly sure why, though there are no shortage of guesses out there. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how ebook sales progress in 2014. And of course, $166 million in Apple, you know, in ebook rebates from the publishers probably are going to help juice the 2014 returns in the first half of the year. And as the year draws down, I really can't help but thinking, you know, to how 2013 began, you know, and it began tragically with the suicide of a young man named Aaron Swartz. You know, some of our listeners out there likely knew Aaron Swartz, a young man who had accomplished quite a bit in his short life. He was just 26 years old when he died. You know, he first burst on the scene as a young teen who was the co-creator of RSS. He was co-creator of the Creative Commons architecture and a key part of Reddit, which is obviously having a huge impact on what we're reading these days. You know, he was a fellow at the Harvard University Center for Ethics, an outspoken advocate for libraries and free access to information, and he's the founder of a nonprofit called Demand Progress. All of this by the age of 26. But in 2011, he was arrested for allegedly hacking the Massachusetts Institutes of Technology's network and downloading 4 million journal articles from the aggregator JSTOR. Now, MIT and JSTOR had both resolved their issues with Swartz. But a zealous U.S. attorney seemed determined to jail him. That led him to a depression that spiraled out of the control and ultimately ended in suicide. You know, in our January 6th, 2014 issue, we're going to have a remembrance of those influential people who passed in 2013. And Aaron Swartz is on that list. And for me, his tragic story really kind of affected the way I look at the digital revolution that's going on in publishing. You know, to have Aaron become a casualty, a real casualty of the battles that are being fought in the intellectual property realm, well, it just really showed me how much skin we really do have in the game and that it goes well beyond the bottom lines of corporations. You know, and on that uplifting note, I'd like to throw it back to you, Chris, if I could, and ask you if you have any impressions and anything that stands out in 2013 or things you're looking forward to seeing in 2014.
Well, you know, I think there were some beginnings and some endings. You mentioned the Google bookcase. There was something that began in 2005 and finally has reached, if not an end, certainly the beginning of the end with that decision just recently. And I'd like to think, looking forward to 2014, that we're going to move from this focus on taking the industry's future to court and bringing it back to where it really belongs, which is in the public space. It's called publishing, after all, because it's a public activity. And I'd like to see everybody in the business, authors, publishers, and readers, get a chance to decide for themselves what they want to read, how they want to read it, and to do so without having somebody in a black robe tell them if they can or not.
I totally agree with you on that. And I would say here's to more conversation and less litigation in 2014, especially because one of the main drawbacks of litigation, as we've learned from the last year, is that these things get sealed, they get pulled into court records, and suddenly nobody can talk about these things anymore. Everything is privileged communication. So I'm with you, Chris. Let's have more conversation, less litigation in 2014.
Well, let's all raise a glass of eggnog to that then. Andrew Albany, Senior Writer for Publishers Weekly, thanks for joining us this year and always on Beyond the Book.
My pleasure, Chris. Have a great holiday.
You too. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at beyondthebook.com. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burris Marketing. Happy holidays to Jeremy. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.